See, we're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
This portion of Sports Daily brought to you by Crestview Country Club. It's fall time at Crestview. That means golfing still going on. Great golfing weather, although it's going to be warm and breezy today and the next day. But it looks like by this weekend, things should be calmed down and cooled off and should be a nice weekend to get out there. Tennis events also going on at Crestview, like glow in the dark triples as well. Of course, you can get all the information about becoming a member at Crestview Country Club online. Go to their website and find out more about what it looks like and what it would be like to have a membership there at Crestview. We really appreciate their partnership with us here on Sports Daily. Paul, let's continue to look around the NFL. We teased it before the break. A lot of really exciting games, a lot of surprising outcomes. We mentioned the outcome with the Ravens. We'll talk about that in a second. It's surprising, I think, that the one-win Patriots were able to take down the New York Jets. The Jets are, again, kind of in free fall a little bit just because of everything, all the drama, firing Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers and all of that. The Jets lose that game. But then some really exciting matchups like the Hail Mary with Jaden Daniels and the Commanders to take down the Bears. The Niners beat the Cowboys. What was your favorite game, favorite takeaway, favorite moment from yesterday's NFL slate?
Well, it wasn't the Chiefs. It was the command. Obviously, I guess we'll get to it right away.
Sure.
The Commanders and
the Bears.
The Bears.
Yeah.
Here you got the number one draft pick and the number two draft pick, and you and I were both in agreement that Jaden Daniels was going to be the better pick for quarterback. That's who you and I would
take. I like Jaden Daniels a lot coming out of the draft.
Not been a fan, I'm serious, I have not necessarily been a fan of Caleb Williams. Now, he may win me over, but remember, I watched him for an entire HBO Hard Knocks. He did not grow on me. He is not... I don't want to say anything that's bad, but
well,
he and I would not
from
be.
From a personality perspective, he's not warm and fuzzy like a lot
not.
Of other quarterbacks.
No.
You know, and you don't have to be, right? That doesn't necessarily matter as much as your performance on the field. And you know what? Williams didn't have a great game yesterday. He has looked better, though, over the first, last couple weeks or so. He didn't start off the season particularly well. I feel like he's kind of settled in, but the Washington defense came to play and really, really limited him.
Yeah, and it was interesting to watch the, 4 or 5 minutes, I guess, the game. We saw the last – I wouldn't have seen this whole thing and gotten excited about it, except I got to see it live because that was the cutaway game after the other game.
Yeah, the Chiefs game. And Ravens – or yeah. Raiders, yeah.
And so anyway, it was really interesting to see what happened with the play. Turns out – and I'll get your thoughts on this. It turns out, which if you were watching it live, like I saw it live, because that was gone before the Chiefs started, I was going to watch the Chiefs, so here I'm watching the end of this game. Have no choice. It's already on the television, ready to go. And we see this Hail Mary, and it's successful. Turns out, Tommy, that one of the Chicago players, one of the DBs, was over about 20 feet, 30 feet away from where the action was, where all the receivers were gathered. Literally, for 7 seconds maybe, as the play was going on, the ball was snapped. This DB had his back turned to the game, and he was jawboning with a bunch of fans, gesturing and all this stuff, And then he turns around and he sees, wait a second, I've got receivers running right at me, and there's a game going on, and I missed it. And he runs right over to the pile where you throw the ball, where the grouping is, and then the ball pops up, and it turns out, his hand was the hand that tipped it to the receiver. Touchdown, Commanders, winner, Commanders. I mean, it was the darndest thing I've ever seen,
yeah.
Particularly with the jawboning going on, and not even know that the ball had been snapped. And it wasn't like he missed a second or two. He missed probably, 5, 7, 8 seconds of it?
Yeah, so that video went viral on social media after the game. Tyreek Stevenson is the player's name, the defensive back for the Bears. You've been a coach for a long time, Paul. Matt Eberflus, the head coach of the Chicago Bears, put yourself in his shoes for a second. Today's the day after the game. I'm sure the team shows up to the facility for team meetings. I know they traveled back home last night. Team meetings, looking at film, reviewing things, practicing, whatever. You're the head coach. What are you saying to Tyreek Stevenson? What are you saying to him in the moment after it's all said and done? But what are you saying to him today once you're reviewing the film?
Well, today is what we're going to talk about, if you want me to talk about that. First of all, I call him in my office and say, you're suspended for a game.
I mean,
that is unconscionable. This cannot happen. This is not Little League football. And what you did was horrific. Cost this team a football game. And so my first thing is I'm going to suspend him a week. What's he going to do about it? Nothing. He's going to take it, hopefully like a man, and say, I get it. It was horrific. I'm also going to fine him. Now, I don't know how much he makes, but, league minimum is, somewhere around $1 million? I don't know what he's going to make. But I'll guarantee you I'd fine him enough that it'd be the entire game check. I don't know. And whatever that game was, I'm fining him whatever he made for that game. And I'm going to make an example. And because this is, if the punishment isn't enough, then you're making a statement to the rest of your football team. Well, you can screw around and mess up, and it's okay. We'll talk about it, and you can apologize, and we'll move on. No, that's not the way I'm doing it. Suspension, fine, and then go from there. And maybe he never recovers from it. If he takes it personally or whatever, who knows? But it was horrible to do. You think I'm being too?
No, I mean,
am I too heavy on it?
I don't. I mean, from a suspension perspective, I don't know. I don't think that's realistic. I don't think that's something that Matt Eberflus is going to do necessarily. I think what's probably.
Well, I know he probably won't do it.
I think what's probably more likely, and I don't even think this is going to happen, but what's probably more likely is you see the guy get cut. Like you see him, they release him or whatever. I think that's probably more likely as opposed to a suspension, but I don't think either one of those things will ultimately end up happening. For me, what's unfortunate about that whole situation, and you know what? Good for the Commanders, happy for them. Dan Quinn and like getting some legitimacy back around this franchise, good for them. The bad thing about the Hail Mary, though, is it takes away overall from watching the number one and number two draft picks square off in a duel. We didn't know that they were going to actually get that because Jaden Daniels had been limited with those rib injuries that he had sustained. We didn't know he was going to play.
That's right.
And so, really like that, I think that Jaden Daniels as a whole outplayed Caleb Williams. First time they've matched up. Doesn't mean that'll be the way it is always, every single time, but at least in their very first matchup, that's what it was. I think that while the jury is still out long-term on Caleb Williams, and I know everybody's still optimistic about him, while the jury is still out, that it could have been really easy for Williams and the Bears to just pack up shop and go home. Like they didn't play well at all for the first, three quarters of the game. They got back into it and took the lead, right? And it was desperation time for the Commanders. There's a reason why, and I don't know, it's been probably, 30 years since we could say that the Bears and the Commanders, Chicago and Washington, was actually a really high-profile matchup in the NFL. You can't take away from either one of these quarterbacks that they've led their respective teams to winning records through the first almost half of the season. And these are two franchises that have been down in the dumps forever. So long term, who knows? Are they both playoff teams? It's going to be tough for the Bears. They're in a really, really difficult division. But they've got their teams playing better than what either one of these franchises have seen in a long time.
Well, the Commanders are going to will be a playoff team, I think. I mean, unless they fold
they
up. They should.
Eagles are, going to obviously stand in the way in the division. Right. I don't think the Cowboys are doing anything.
No, they're not. So we'll see.
The Giants aren't doing anything. So I think the Commanders could absolutely win the division for sure.
Yeah.
And speaking of the playoffs, let's go to the AFC really quick, Paul.
All right.
The Ravens, they're 5-3. They lose to Jameis Winston and the Browns, who were 1-6 entering that game. Are the Ravens still legitimate contenders, or are you seeing some major issues with Baltimore?
I don't want to play them. If I'm an NFL team, I don't want to play them because I guess they could be beat. They've lost three games. They're not where I thought they would be. I thought they would probably be one loss, two losses at the most. So maybe they're not as good as I think they are, so they can be beat. But the question is, do I want to play them? The answer is no. I don't want to play them. I think it's a dangerous team. Mm. The Ravens, they've got two guys that can run the football, Derrick Henry and, of course, Lamar Jackson. Both those guys can run the football. And Lamar Jackson, I don't think gets enough credit. Well, maybe he gets enough credit for being a good passer. He's really a good, good passer. So do I want to play that? No, I don't want to play him because I don't want to have to play a quarterback that's dual threat. That's tough. It's tough on you. I want my quarterback sitting right in the pocket where I know where he is. Then I can go get him. I can go get him if I know where he's sitting. So with that being said, I don't want to even at this very moment, 5-3, I don't want to play the Ravens. If I'm an NFL team, that's the one team I don't want to see.
You know, I think that a team that is built like that, where they're explosive. I used the phrase to compare the Chiefs and the Ravens last week. I kind of equated it to this, and tell me if you agree with this.
All right.
The way that the Chiefs are built, what their identity is right now, is they will kill you death by 1,000 paper cuts. Like, it's little by little. It's nothing over the top or crazy, but then you turn around and holy crap, we're losing this game. How are we losing this game? Patrick Mahomes has thrown a bunch of interceptions and the Chiefs have turned the ball over and, you know, the drop pad, like all the penalties, all the different things. And then all of a sudden you turn around and like the Chiefs are 7-0. You're like, how in the hell did that happen? The Ravens, on the other hand, they're like a bazooka, right? Like you, yeah. They're explosive.
Right.
You know that they're going to come out and just like blow up. Right. That's kind of what they do, especially adding Derrick Henry into the mix. It's another explosive weapon. So it's different. Like these two teams, their identities are totally different because the Chiefs will kill you by giving you a bunch of paper cuts and the Ravens are going to blow up an entire building to beat you.
Well, that's very well said, and you're exactly right. So I guess you pick your poison and everybody. But yeah. You know something? There's a number of teams in the NFL that when you look at defenses, there's some really good defenses.
Right.
I mean, the Chiefs aren't the only team that has a good defense. I mean, you know, I hate to say this because I'm not a Bears fan, but the Bears got a really good defense.
Right.
I mean, you know, notwithstanding, you know the Hail Mary and a cornerback who's sitting there not paying attention to what's going on. I mean, forget that. But I'm talking about they held Washington and a really good quarterback, Jalen Daniels, runs, who throws, who does it all, who's going to be one of the best, I think, in the league if he stays healthy. And he has a good offensive line and some receivers. He's going to be a darn good one, one of the upper echelons. And they held him to what? Half a dozen or a dozen points, you know, or in that neighborhood.
Right.
Come on, for a whole game? So there are some really good defenses. And I always like the good defensive teams. You know, you can always, if you can hold a team to zero, the worst that can happen is you tie.
Well, let me ask you this. I'll pose this question to you before we go to break and wrap up our talk on the NFL. There were a lot of teams that flexed yesterday across the NFL. The Chiefs are, though, the only undefeated team remaining in the National Football League. Who is the team right now that is the biggest threat, the biggest risk to the Chiefs not getting a three-peat when it's all said and done in February? And I'll give you a couple of options. You can pick any team.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be just these options.
All right, give me a couple.
Of course, we've talked about the Ravens. They lost, but they're explosive. The Bills hung a bunch of points on Seattle yesterday. The Lions put up 52 points in their game, bouncing back after their loss against the Vikings last week. There are some others out there. Who's your pick?
You named two that I would pick. The Lions, which you know I'm a fan of because of Dan Campbell. So I'd be the Lions and the Bills. The Bills, the way they played yesterday, that's a special team. They're going to have to be reckoned with. They have two losses already. But Tommy, let me tell you this. I don't want to play them if I'm Kansas City. I hope somebody takes them out before I have to play them.
Well, you know, and the Bills are turning up right now, and the Chiefs are on a collision course with them in just a couple of weeks in Buffalo. Of course, Kansas City has Tampa Bay in primetime Monday night.
And by the way, so I want somebody to take them out. I mean before we get to the playoffs.
Sure.
I don't mean regular season. You got to play them in the regular season. I don't want to play the Ravens or the Bills
in the
postseason.
Well, as long as the Chiefs can continue this death by 1,000 paper cuts identity, hey, they're probably unstoppable. Because
where'd you come up with that? Death by 1,000 cuts.
I don't know.
Not bad.
I don't know.
Not bad. Give you a little credit
that's
on that.
It's kind of what they do. It's kind of the way that they played all season.
It?
And they make it work, and all of a sudden their opponents are like, holy cow, we just lost.
Good description, though. It is a good description.
So it is what it is, but Chiefs remain undefeated at 7-0. Before we take a break, let's set up our text contest. If you want to win some free HTO, all you have to do is text the keyword T, that's T-E-A, to code 20357. Each participant can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Speaking of HTO, you can get in there right now and take advantage of some of the great offers they have this fall season. But if you want to win some free iced tea from HTO, text the keyword TTEA to 20357. The World Series Game 3 gets going tonight. The Dodgers have a 2-0 lead. What's it going to take for them to go up 3-0 against the Yankees? We'll talk about that on the other side. Tommy Castor, Paul Savage, Sports Daily. It's coming right back.
Ninety-7.5 and 1240 KFA.